hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owijan? Brave the Wild is available on all your favorite podcasting apps and is also on the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Minnesota Wild, as we headed into the Christmas break. Some people call it holiday. I will still call it Christmas. They only played two games during this time, 4 days off from San Jose to Winnipeg. So instead of like a layoff hangover, so to speak, from the break, it was I want to go on break, so I'm not going to play as hard. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But the Wild get crushed in the tank versus the San Jose Sharks, and then crush Winnipeg for the most part in Winnipeg. So a split. Well, I got what I predicted. That's the thing. So it just ended up being losing to the Sharks instead of the Winnipeg Jets. Thank you, Minnesota, for holding up your end of the deal by still getting the split. By going into Winnipeg and beating a really good goalie twice. So, we beat Hellebuck pretty good last time around. Goligoski was the hero in that game, and Goligoski played very well against Winnipeg again. Goligoski. Yeah, you get the idea. He got to play, so it looks good. Still looks like he can play, no doubt about it. It's probably like when he doesn't play all the time, he probably ends up playing better. You know, obviously when guys get older, you know, and all that, you know, maybe they don't have the stamina they used to, but he can definitely still play, and he should definitely play against his former club, the Dallas Stars, tonight. What do we have? Three games to preview, the Stars, the Blues, and I'm always forgetting what the last one, Tampa Bay. Yep, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So pretty epic group there. We often beat Tampa for some reason. Dallas, it can be, often negative, and St. Louis has been very negative. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. St. Louis is only a 500 club right now. Dallas is in first, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are like Minnesota right now in third place in their division. We'll get back to that shortly. San Jose Sharks game, I don't know. Now we can't play the Sharks anymore again. Like, I don't know. For the longest time, the Sharks used to just roast us and toast us. And, of course, they were pretty good in the early days of the Minnesota Wild, and they stayed good for most of the time. Kind of a higher-end team with expensive players and just talent all over the place. From Joe Thornton to this guy to that guy. One stud after the next. Nabokov in the net. You know, all kinds of talent, obviously, for years and years. Up to Danny Heatley. Obviously, Heatley was around not too long after that. Obviously, left the Thrashers before they moved to Winnipeg to become the Jets 2.0 and all that cute stuff. But obviously other talented players have come and gone. You know, Erik Karlsson with his incredible renaissance season continues to play at a very, very, very high level, to be quite fair. At least got his 32nd assist in this game, but wound up with actually 4 total points. Erik Karlsson, super dominant. Jeez. Yeah, at least got 1 assist, my butt. Yeah, he had 3. And he scored the goal also as well in the game. A 5-2 loss in San Jose. Again, it felt like, the Wild had been on break for a while, the hangover. But to be fair, this was a back-to-back. We had just beaten the Anaheim Ducks in a game that was kind of like a slow starter, and then the Wild pulled away. You're hoping maybe you had a similar situation here, but it just wasn't meant to be. Philip Gustafson had, not his best game, but the play in front of him wasn't all that great either. It was, as they say, a total team effort. Mason Shaw nailed game misconduct. That's why you see 15 penalty minutes. The kneeing thing, was it intentional? Was it not? But unfortunate situation there, and he ended up getting suspended. So the last thing a guy like Mason Shaw needs, unfortunately, who hasn't been scoring lately. So I don't know. I don't want him to become one of those fringe, quad A type of guys. That would suck. I'd love to see Mason Shaw remain in the National Hockey League for many, many years to come. John Merrill's the only defenseman with a point in the game with an assist. The Wild would end up scoring 2 goals. And, of course, Mats Zuccarello got one of them, assisted by Kirill the Thrill, and of course Boldy and Eriksson Ek. Nope, John Merrill for Eriksson Ek, pardon me. Boldy assisted with the Zuccarello goal, pardon me. So, that's like the top of the top line, basically, you could say, when those guys work together on occasion. The line's shuffling around, and Dean Evason's been more willing to shovel things around rather than just kind of like stay the course. So that's definitely been a big compliment. Zuccarello's passing skills, we know what they are, but he's been scoring like crazy as well. He's on pace for over 80 points, as long as he can stay healthy and not miss time like he did last year, where he missed 80 points by 1. He had 79 last year. Did Mats Zuccarello. An amazing season, to be quite fair. Ryan Hartman, I'd have to say. Who's that again? I don't know. Ryan Hartman is definitely not the guy he was last year. And I know he's coming back after a layoff, and any type of shoulder injury, it's not a good thing. And sometimes those type of things, they just, I don't know, they heal and all that stuff, but I don't know. You're just not as quick. You know what I mean? It's just, you're not as quick. Your coordination's not really where it needs to be. And I don't know. Hartman just feels like he's just kind of a guy. He's just kind of there. You know what I mean? Kind of like Greenway when it comes to scoring. But Greenway, there's a little bit more of a presence. Hartman's been okay, but there's not really a whole lot to say. So, I don't know. It's an unfortunate fact. He was like the bargain of the century, and now the poor guy, so much for that, huh? You know, it's unfortunate. Obviously, he's still probably due a raise one way or another, no matter how you shake it, but it isn't going to be what some people thought. And of course, obviously, with the Minnesota Wild and their salary cap situation, you can very easily be priced off the team anyway. So very unlikely, the way things are setting up, that Ryan Hartman will be back after next season. He might even be included in a trade. We'll see. A contract like that, though, I mean, what the hell? It's probably not the worst thing to hang on to. Sammy Walker called up again for the Winnipeg Jets game, again with the suspension of Shaw. And, yeah, he has an empty net goal. We'll get back to that shortly. But everybody, and I mean everybody, says he just reeks of NHL. He's an NHL player. There's no doubt. Every time you watch Sammy Walker, his presence, his confidence, his overall demeanor on the ice, and his game matches up with the National Hockey League, not with the American Hockey League. Crazy to think he's actually 2 years older than Boldy. So again, I guess that kind of sort of makes sense in a way. He's taking advantage of his experience. And you know, he's not one of those guys who's, you know, 23, 24, 25, and it's like, oh, yeah, maybe, we'll see, I don't know, you know, he's not a fast enough skater, he doesn't have this, he's not quite that great at that, and those are the guys that are unfortunately stuck in the AHL purgatory for ever and ever and ever, and I feel for those guys. It's quite unfortunate, to be quite fair. I mean, nobody wants to be stuck in the same place forever, especially when it's not the goal of their career and all that. Foligno's on IR, again, like we said, and of course, DeHaim still hasn't returned. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen with things. But, I mean, Samuel Walker needs to be on the Wild for many, many years, I think. And I hope he is. It would suck to see him get traded or something crazy like that. But I would hope they're not in any type of rush to do that. You'll hear more about trades and trade sweeteners and such as we head into the fan interaction segment. That's where we're going to get deeper and deeper into that. There's probably bound to be some type of a trade coming up, just because. Obviously, there's players that deserve to be here. Like, you know, I've said his name about 50 times now. And there's players that probably aren't going to be back, if you like it or not. Going into the summer, at the very least, with Dumba. That's pretty much been Russo's take most of the year. He'll probably play out the rest of the season and into the postseason, him being Matt Dumba. But it'll wind up being, you know, not re-signed in the offseason. It'd be nice to get something back for him, but it might, maybe they look at it like Bill Guerin, like it's not fair value and it's too big of a loss to just give up a guy for, you know, a mid-round draft pick or something like that. You would want an actual defenseman back in return, because none of the major prospects are really ready to go except Brock Faber, and that would be like April or something. Hopefully April, if you know what I'm hinting at. The national champion Minnesota Gophers for 2023. That's what we're hoping for, that they go the distance. So that's the ongoing thing there. Again, the Sharks game stunk. You know, I mean, it's let's hear from Dean Evason.
Okay. Hey, listen, our whole game sucked tonight. We got what we deserve.
Okay, that wasn't after the game. That wasn't after this game. It was after something last year. But it sums it up perfectly, though. It was a sucky game. It really was. You know, Philip Gustafson wasn't all that sharp, but nor was anybody else. It was kind of the whole team. And Philip Gustafson's one of the last people I'm going to complain about when it comes to the Minnesota Wild. Honest to God, he is an outstanding goaltender. Outstanding. So, and he's the kind of guy you'd want to sign for your fantasy team at this point. He's been that good, obviously, and he's definitely fantasy worthy. I signed him. I was very happy about that. And it's, you know, it's not like my goalie situation is Vasilevskiy and such. I think I had Vasilevskiy last year, or was it the year before? So that felt really good. You had your Christmas break, your holiday break, whatever you want to call it. I still call it Christmas. Minnesota Wild, hosted by the Winnipeg Jets, who are still in second place. Minnesota's knocking on the door, though. Knocking on the door. Let's get some home ice advantage and beat these guys, though. Maybe it doesn't matter. Hey, maybe it doesn't matter. Dean Evason puts Philip Gustafson right back in there. And what does he do? Delivers. Stops 31 of 32 shots. Very good game for him. Minnesota Wild just simply outplayed the Winnipeg Jets. Get three goals in Connor Hellebuck on 27 shots. Matt Zuccarello has one of the highlights of the entire season. It's almost hard to describe. It's almost like he phased the puck, like it had no matter as it went through the defender of the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know how that got through. I have no idea, but it was one of the greatest passes I've ever seen. Just the timing. It was just gorgeous. I couldn't believe it. I want to make sure I'm... Spurgeon created the turnover, got it to Zuccarello. Zuccarello just waited patiently. The defender went on the ground, you know, to try to, again, to block the pass to Freddie Goudreau. And it just was a gorgeous saucer pass from Zooks or Zuccarello. He's not my, he's not my teammate. I wish he was. He'd be a nice teammate, wouldn't he? Some Zooks to Freddie Goudreau. 23rd assist of the season. Felt like his 90th because he's been that good. And obviously, again, the 15 goals as well. Pretty damn cool. 16 goals. Excuse me. Sorry about that, Matt. Sorry. Nice play by Kirill Kaprizov, getting him the puck on that one. The chemistry between those guys, it's still the same and wonderful as it was all last year when they had that fun bit with Ryan Hartman, drinking the coffee, saying, just give me the dang coffee, okay? Come on. It was kind of funny. So but instead of just pass, getting a little too cute, right? But that one, it wasn't even about getting cute. It was about scoring a goal. The timing of the pass, the release of the pass, and the accuracy of it to Freddie Goudreau to add it to everything else. Freddie Goudreau with his 9th goal of the season. It was nice, but the Zuccarello pass was the highlight of that play. Absolutely great. Jared Spurgeon, really nice game as well, scoring his 4th goal of the season on the power play to make it 1-0 very early. Hartman did get his 5th assist, so I don't want to bash Hartman too much. I don't think he's getting... I don't think he's going to get the... James Shepard Memorial, we'll see. Sam Steele's a big candidate. No, he's not. 2 assists in the game early on to put the Wild up 2-0 before some Winnipeg Jets fans might have been in their seats. 2-0 Minnesota, 6 minutes into the first period, and that felt great. But Pierre-Luc Dubois, with his 16th goal of the year, unfortunately, Minnesota Wild, that was kind of one of those what-the-hell-can-you-do type of goals, but luckily, that was all. Josh Morrissey, 34 assists. Kyle Connor, 24 on the year. Nice numbers for those guys. Obviously, they're two of the best players on the Winnipeg Jets, despite certain players being out, like Wheeler and Scheifele. Scheifele did play, but didn't score in the game. And Wheeler's missed a significant amount of time. I can still see Blake Wheeler doing the skull, doing the skull chant. That was right before the Saints game. I remember that. It was the day before the Saints game when the Vikings defeated the Saints. I can't remember if that was 17. Was it that far back or was it 19 when the Vikings beat the Saints? Because I know they beat them both times. Somehow, I think that was 17. It was like way back because that was, obviously a 13-3 Vikings game. A lot of people thought we were going to the Super Bowl. Well, maybe this year we are. We'll see. Still got the same stinking Philadelphia Eagles lurking above us, though, so check out the Purple Mafia podcast if you want to hear about some of that. But the Winnipeg Jets game, of course, again, it was a nice feeling. And the nicest feeling of all, outside of that highlight pass by Zuccarello to Freddie Goudreau, was the empty net goal by Sammy Walker. It's like you knew he's going to score at some point, and it was frustrating how they would take they took assist away from him in the last game he played. Him being, again, Sammy Walker. It was frustrating when they took it away from him, but, it is what it is. They didn't want to give him the second assist, and it sure looked like he earned it. But then he ends up getting his first goal of his career. 1 goal, no assist in 5 games so far, but looked like an awesome player the whole time he was out there. Some guys, like, dare I say, Marco Rossi, you kind of barely noticed him. though occasionally you'd see a nice defensive play, and occasionally you'd see a nice scoring chance created that unfortunately didn't finish. So I shouldn't say that Rossi was completely invisible, but I would say that Sammy Walker's been more visible than Marco Rossi was at the time he was up with Minnesota. That is not a bash on Rossi. He's got time. Sammy Walker's 23, and Marco Rossi is 20. So simple math there. He's actually about 3 years and 3 months older than Marco Rossi. So obviously there's plenty of time there. That's like a whole college career practically. So, you know, that's plenty of time. Like Rossi would be, what, like a sophomore or something? Or would he be a junior? Well, it depends. Yeah, I guess he would be a junior already. Jeez. Well, whatever. I think he'd be a junior. But yeah, he'd probably be absolutely dominating college. That's the one thing. But hasn't adjusted to the National Hockey League yet. Obviously, again, 16 games, only one assist. Did create scoring chances that unfortunately didn't finish. It's not 100% his fault, but it kind of is what it is. Adam Beckman also, 5 games so far up at the big club. I can't believe it's been 5 games. Huh. But yeah, he was called up during the break as well because of situations with the injuries and the suspension and all that stuff. Adam Beckman is becoming more and more willing to play in the bottom six role rather than just being a scorer, because I think he realizes the situation here. You've got to be able to make it. You've got to be able to make it. You've got to be willing to put in some of that as well, to put in some of that extra effort and such. That's how Jason Zucker ultimately made it with the Minnesota Wild years ago, where it looked like he was going to, you know, be possibly a bust for like a minute there. And then eventually he broke through. He got better and all that. So, you know, anybody that can play in all situations obviously has more value to a team. And the good news is Adam Beckman also, again, dare we say his age, 21. So, quite a few years remaining in his hockey career, God willing. God willing. I can't believe Brandon Duhaime is 25. Wow. I can't believe it, but I suppose he went all the way through school. So, it is what it is. Played a lot of AHL hockey as well, and definitely earned his stripes. But an overall fun night for the Minnesota Wild versus the Winnipeg Jets. It's been a good year. It's up and down with these Jets. Sometimes they're the ones beating us 4-1, 5-3, 5-2, and then other years it's us beating them. So luckily it's us beating them so far. And the Minnesota Wild still very much in contention, into the postseason and everything. There is one very scary thing that we do need to talk about when it comes to the postseason. There is no room for error. None. There is no room for error. The Minnesota Wild have 42 points. The ninth seed Edmonton Oilers have 40. So think about that. Minnesota would play Winnipeg on the first round, the second versus the third, all that cute stuff, and we would be the fifth seed, so to speak, if there was still 1-8. But we're talking, everybody, it's an absolute logjam from Winnipeg down to Edmonton, and even Vancouver is still within striking distance. They're only 7 points behind Minnesota. St. Louis is within striking distance. So you get on a little hot streak, watch out. Nashville is a very dangerous team as well. So it's those four clubs that could definitely be a huge threat in the not-too-distant future. And then Colorado, let's not forget. They're 2 points behind the Wild. Just 2 points behind the Wild. The Colorado Avalanche are behind the Wild right now. We all know how that could change very quickly. The whole obnoxious games in hand thing. Yeah, ooh, we got games in hand, though. Calgary is back in the postseason, but they've played 37 games versus the Wild's 34. Vegas is the top seed, but they played 38. Los Angeles has played 38. Colorado's only 33. Seattle, 33. So watch out for those two teams. Of course, they could easily catch up. Nashville, only 33. Arizona's not a threat, but they're certainly better than last year. Surely they're better than last year. And they'd have to be, right? 12-16, they're only 4 games under 500. So it's not like, oh, wow, watch out for the Coyotes, but they're not that bad. Like they're not like Chicago. Chicago is what Arizona was the last couple of years. 8-21, they're clearly falling off the face of the earth, and Patrick Kane is losing interest, clearly. And Jonathan Toews is frustrated beyond human recognition, and I don't blame him. It would be annoying. It'd be annoying to be on a team that is just kind of like either just not good or they don't give a damn. There was the Zuccarello play, believe it or not. The replay of Winnipeg and Minnesota is on the screen right now, thankfully, which is great. And that was that insane saucer pass to number 89. Oh, man. Whew. I mean, that was, that might be the play of the year when it comes to Minnesota. And Okay, yeah, it went underneath the defender. That's what it was. That's what I thought it was. Oh, my God. Just the timing of it. Just, oh. No, he got it over. It's so hard to explain. Yeah, he raised it over, which is even better. That's just sick, you know, and I really appreciate Zuccarello and what he brings to this team. Yeah, I mean, and sometimes there's a little puck luck involved, but with that level of passing skills, you create puck luck when you have passing skills at that level. Matt Boldy's certainly been playing significantly better for the most part. He had struggled for a while. It's not like he's racking up the points, but he's got some. I mean, he's got 27 and 34. Kirill Kaprizov still on pace for around 100-ish. 44 and 34. He had a little bit quieter week, unfortunately. And Zuccarello has been absolutely off the charts. Amazing. So you can kind of guess who the Mike Madonna Award winner is for this show. It is Mats Zuccarello. Mats Zuccarello out of Norway. Yes, sir. And that might be why you see some of those people from that part of the world listening to Brave the Wild. Maybe it's a Zuccarello's fans or Zuccarello's family or something. You never know. So we'll probably get into that a little bit as we head into the third segment, the demographics and such. I think it's fun to look at. It's, again, like I always call it, like a new toy to me. I can even get into it now. Yeah, Norway, Yep. Yeah, some people are listening from Norway, Finland. Finland's number two behind the United States. Yep, United Kingdom. Isn't that cool? Japan, that's really cool. Chechia, I like that very much. So, thank you all so much, every one of you, all across the world. We will get deeper into that in the third segment. The James Sheppard Memorial, it's Ryan Hartman. No, I don't know. Last time, I think I gave it to Greenway because he'd been kind of struggling. Dare I say Mason Shaw. Oh, Mason, I don't want to do this to you, but, well, getting suspended, and obviously he hadn't been much of a factor of late. It's a fairly gentle one, but then again, getting suspended is not going to help your cause. I know. I mean, you have to be careful, this and that, what you do out there. So, Mason Shaw will ring in the James Sheppard Memorial, the last one of 2022. Matt Zuccarello brings in the Mike Madonna Award, the last of 2022. With that, we'll take a quick break since it was only two games, and gosh, I guess it's already about standard time for a first segment anyway. That's kind of funny. Three games to preview, and of course you'll hear about DraftKings and the prospects and all that cool stuff. We are back here on Brave the Wild, segment number two. We're going to preview the three upcoming games, look at the prospects. But first, let's hear from our sponsor, DraftKings, at the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 on pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot and an even bigger payout. So, yep, you know Kirill Kaprizov's going to get a hat trick versus the Stars tonight. They're going to score five goals, and they're going to beat the Stars 5-3, something like that, or I would sure like to believe that. Jake Ottinger is a pretty tough goalie, so maybe not five goals, but we'll see. Be careful about overbetting on that one, right? Combine multiple bets. Oh, no, I already read that. I apologize. Yeah, but yeah, it's obviously about the adding more legs to your bet the more you win, all of that, you know. So obviously, again, because it's tougher odds, you know, like you pick them to win with scoring four goals, not just to win. So simple, but and makes a lot of sense. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Of course, that's the Hockey Podcast Network. Really proud to be a part of them. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Let's look at those Dallas Stars. I just heard on the, Minnesota Wild Weekly. How dare I listen, right? No, of course I will. Talking to Jake Ottinger. All right. So, obviously, a guy with a nice future. He came from Lakeville. God rest Neil Thiessing. Obviously, again, some of you see him as one of the hosts. He was a host. He was an occasional co-host, and we had so much fun, and it goes back into the years. But, unfortunately, he passed away in early February 2018. Cardiac arrest that led to brain damage, all that kind of stuff. So, still hurts. Yep, gosh. Obviously, it's the kind of thing, you know, you can never fill a hole of someone. What an awesome person Neil Nate Dogg Thiessing truly was. So every time I hear about Lakeville, I think about Neil Thiessing, like, right away. So Jake Ottinger is the goalie, and he's from Lakeville. So he played in Lakeville and all that. So it was at Lakeville North. So, Jake, I respect you. I do. I really do. And he's a hell of a goalie. What did he stop, like 70 shots versus the Flames? So wouldn't mind having him on Minnesota. But, well, if Jesper Wallstedt is as advertised, hopefully we'll be okay. But Jake has got an awesome future with those Dallas Stars, doesn't he? Truly. Truly, truly. Dallas Stars, Minnesota. This one is in Texas, right? Nope, this isn't Minnesota. Cool. Xcel Energy Center. Tonight, 7 p.m., like you'd expect. First place Stars, third place Minnesota Wild, 21-9-6. Wild are not too far behind the Stars. Denis Garyanov, yep. How do I know how to pronounce that? I've heard the name before. I've heard that name in the past. Nick Camano, also out. Garyanov, they gave him an indefinite leave of absence. Interesting. December the 21st. And they placed Camano on IR way back in September. So that doesn't sound good, unfortunately. It really doesn't. Middleton's out. That's another reason why Goligoski's been in. But that's okay. Let Middleton continue to heal and all that. And Goligoski's been wonderful, to be fair. And maybe he should be up here instead of, or been playing anyway. He's up here, Goligoski, instead of John Merrill at times. That's another possibility. Marcus Foligno, injured reserve as of the 22nd of December. The Dallas Stars are second in the National Hockey League, as Wes Walls might say, in goals. Second in the league in goals. That's Robertson for you, right, with 24. Jeez. 10th in goals against. Under, believe it or not, the Wild are 7th. The Wild are 20th in goals for, but 7th in goals against. So, actually, we're actually better than the Stars right now, which is pretty crazy. The Wild did win in a shootout, 3-2, on December the 4th. That was a fun game. 6-5, officially. The Wild did lead 5-0 in that game, and which is freaking stupid. How do you blow a lead like that? Or was it 5-1? Either way, it's like, why? Like, how? Why? Yep, the Stars actually tied it up 1-1. And then, yeah, that's what I thought, 5-1. My apologies. And the Stars came roaring back, furious rally, Minnesota Wild style, in about a 10-minute span. 10-minute span, 4 freaking goals by Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson, Mason Marchment. And Hintz again, that was a hat trick, right? Yeah, he scored the goal at the beginning. He had a hat trick. That's what I thought. I knew there was a hat trick in this game. It wasn't us. Nope, it was Hintz. He took the Hintz, but unfortunately couldn't get it done in the shootout. Minnesota Wild survived that one. Bing, bang, boom. We score all 3 goals in that. So that felt pretty good. Whew. Wild escape, absolute disaster versus the Dallas Stars in Dallas. Win the game. That would have been a horrible loss. Horrible. I mean, you know, Dallas is a good team, but you don't blow 5-1 leads. I don't care if you're at home or on the road. That's freaking stupid. It is. Obviously, again, Dallas, very talented team, blah, blah, blah. Ottinger, 2.43 goals against average. Save percentage, just about 92. 2 shutouts on last season. 51 points for Jason Robertson. Kirill who? Kind of, sort of. Well, that's what he'd like you to believe anyway. Yeah, he's a hell of a player, though. 24 goals, 27 assists. He not only does he score the goals, he gets the assists as well. Overall, the best player on the Dallas Stars outside of Jake Ottinger. Hintz also, though, 18 goals on the season, helped by that hat trick about a month ago now. 40 points on the season. Jamie Benn's been playing a bit better than last year. Both him and Sagan were, like, pretty lousy last year. Sagan certainly behind Benn. Yeah, like last year, they look kind of old and tired and kind of wrapped up. But yeah, Pavelski's definitely still got that fountain of youth going. Heiskanen's become a much more of an offensive threat now. 21 assists on the season. The defenseman, of course, for Dallas. Young defenseman who keeps getting better and better. So, good for him. At the end of the day, our old friend Ryan Suter, 36 games, Mr. Reliable, 8 assists. Certainly not the same guy he was before. Riley Tufte, I believe, former Gopher, right? Or no, he was with the Duluth, whatever they're called. Bulldogs. I keep wanting to call them the Blue Devils. I don't know why that is. It's freaking weird. Scott Wedgwood's the backup. I believe he used to play for the New Jersey Devils, right? Goals against an average of 3, but save percentage of 91, which tells you he faces a lot of shots. So the play in front of Wedgwood wasn't really helpful. That's why his goals against average is 3, but still 6-4. So they've been winning in shootouts. Ottens are 15-5 on the season. Dallas Stars are 3-2 in their last 5. Losing to Carolina 5-4. Okay, nice effort in Carolina, by the way. They win in Columbus 2-1. Lose to Edmonton at home 6-3. Beat Montreal in, not in the Stanley Cup final, but in the, no. Neither one. They never played them in the final. No, I'm getting it mixed up because, yeah, I was like back both of those Tampa years. Both Dallas and Montreal lost to Tampa. Gosh, and they both beat Vegas, too, which was really annoying. Ugh. Stars win 4-2 at Nashville, 3-2 victory most recently, and now at Minnesota tonight. Minnesota, hopefully, we can take advantage, get the job done, win another game versus this team. This is a good one. This is going to be a really nice game, I think. It's going to be a lot of interesting action going on. Could be a 4-3 win for Minnesota. Something along those likes. I'm going to step out in faith and believe in that. The Minnesota Wild defeat the Dallas Stars tonight. That'd be a huge step in the right direction. And the screen just went white. I just love that. Yep. So things are shaping up like I'm thinking. Yeah, Stars or Minnesota will beat the Stars 4-3. The most likely guy to score will be Eric Hall. Okay, sorry. Remember how many times he scored against the Dallas Stars? Eric Halla. No, it's going to be, if he plays, I think Ryan Hartman gets his first NHL goal tonight. If he plays. If he doesn't play, did I say Ryan Hartman? Adam Beckman gets his first NHL goal tonight. In case I said Ryan Hartman. Losing my mind. I deeply apologize. If he doesn't play tonight, but I do think he does, but just in case he doesn't, I believe that the most likely guy to score other than that, let's go with Kirill Kaprizov, right? Surprise, right? Yeah, he's going to score, and I'm sure Robinson's going to score as well. I think both of those guys score every time we play against each other. That rivalry going back to the whole Calder Cup deal. Minnesota then celebrates New Year's Eve in St. Louis, which is a loss. Yep. Minnesota Wild's history on New Year's Eve has been awful. Minnesota Wild's play against the St. Louis Blues for the last 2 years has been awful. Hopefully that can change, and it absolutely can. The series is just starting. I'm going to backtrack real quick. I apologize. I want to see what the Stars series is because it should be 4 games, right? Yeah. So at Minnesota, and then we head to Dallas on February the 8th, and we host the Dallas Stars on February 17th. All right. February the 8th. That's right about when Neil passed away in 2018. I think it was officially the 7th, though, but yeah, it was right around that time. Oh, man. Yeah, that was sad. A really terrible, terrible time. Terrible. St. Louis Blues, the series. Yep, you got the New Year's Eve game. So we play them only once in 2022. January the 8th, we host the Blues. Head to St. Louis on March 15th. Watch out. And then host the Wild host the Blues. We head to St. Louis on March 15th. Head to St. Louis. Host the Blues on April the 8th, if I ever get it out correctly. Apologize. A nut job. Tyler Torrey Krug was placed on injured reserve as of the 27th of December. Kyrou, obviously a very valuable player, did not play on December 23rd. Okay, so whatever that means. It means he probably will play in this one. Pernovic will undergo surgery and will be out for and will be reevaluated in 6 months as of October the 4th. So maybe we'll see him in March or April or something. Scott Pernovic, that's unfortunate. Reevaluated in 6 months. I am not happy to hear something like that. Really? Robert Thomas is the goal-scoring leader of the St. Louis Blues? What's going on here? And we're tied with the Blues in scoring. We're tied. 107 each. 20th in the league. The Blues are 27th in goals against. Yuck. I didn't even look at Dallas's power play. I'm a mess today, and I apologize. Jeez. I'm going to backtrack to Dallas again. I am so sorry. They're 7th in the power play. The Wild are 11th. The Stars are at 4th in the penalty kill. The Wild are 13th. The Dallas Stars are in the top 10 in both special teams. The Wild are 31st in penalty minutes. Stars are 27th. So on and so forth. So now that I'm having to backtrack over and over again, I am really sorry. The Blues are 12th in the power play, right with us. And 28th in the penalty kill. So hopefully they can get into the box. Unfortunately, even though they have one of the suckier penalty kills in the league, they're the best team in the National Hockey League about not going in the penalty box. Them being the St. Louis Blues, only 237 minutes. Number one in the NHL in that category. So that's a nice stat there. The Blues 2-3 in their last five. They've lost three in a row. They beat Calgary 5-2. Beat Vancouver 5-1. Very impressive wins in the Mountain and Pacific zones there. And then they stay in the Pacific area and get crushed by Seattle 5-2. Go back to Mountain. I guess it is technically Pacific, but it's more mountainy, I would say. Vegas 5-4 lost in Vegas, and then defeated by the Toronto Blue Jays, Maple Leafs, in St. Louis 5-4. The Blues are down there quite a bit, but they're still within range of catching Minnesota and whoever else. What, 7 points behind us? And a game like this could easily help them get a little closer. It's been an insanely tough matchup for the Wild, annoyingly. And I don't know why, honestly. It just is. No, we've had great success against this team in the past, just not lately. Jordan Kyrou is leading the club in scoring with 17 goals, 33 assists. Robert Thomas is not the leading goal scorer, but he does have the most assists with 24. So good for Robert Thomas there with 32 points. Bad Vlad Tarasenko. He's played in all 33 games and is almost a point a game. 10 goals, 19 assists. He always finds a way to score against the Minnesota Wild. Brandon Schenn. Good for him. 27 points on the season. Ryan O'Reilly. What is going on with Ryan O'Reilly? Oof. He's fallen off the face of the earth. What's going on? 35 games, 16 points. 35 games, 16 points. Ryan O'Reilly is definitely not the same guy. Seems like yesterday he was the undisputed leader and star of the St. Louis Blues, and they won the Stanley Cup and all that cool stuff after that nice comeback. Brandon Staud is still on the Blues. Wow, only 10 points in 28 games. He's never been a really prolific scorer, but he's been a pain in the ass for the Wild forever. Tyler Pitlick, not Rem, but Tyler Pitlick, only 2 points. In 22 games, lots of twos there. Will Bitten, former Minnesota Wild, kind of sort of prospect, free agent prospect, 1 assist in 4 games. Will Bitten, remember him? Not too long ago, right? Nick Leddy, former Minnesota Wild, you know, draft pick that was here for about 5 minutes. 11 assists for the Blues, and that's it. So it's not a pretty team, but they've been a headache to play against for the Stars or the Wild, and hopefully. Hopefully our fortunes change against this club. Jordan Binnington's averaging 3.2 goals against. Save percentage 89, but 2 shutouts on the season. Good for him. Thomas Greiss, so that's where he is now. Man, his goalie's average sucks everywhere lately. He had some wonderful seasons with the New York Islanders, but outside of that, he has been rocked. 3.55 goals against. Save percentage is 90, though, so again, facing tons of shots. That's where you get weird anomalies like that, where the goals against average is almost like a half goal higher than the other guy, and the save percentage is better. So the play in front of Thomas Greiss hasn't been helpful at all. The Blues win, though, unfortunately. In my opinion, until further notice, I picked the Blues to win this game 4-2. Jared Spurgeon will score his 5th goal of the season for Minnesota, but the Wild did not win the game, unfortunately. Who do we have next? It's the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? They almost won 3 cups in a row, but didn't quite make it. They were close. But then Colorado just kind of took charge of that series and prevented the three-peat, which would have been the first since the New York Islanders. This one will be on TNT. TNT, because they're not going to be busy with basketball. That's Thursday night. So, but thankfully, hockey's got some TNT action going on. Rudolf Balcers, placed on injured reserve as of November 26th. So, all right. Braden Point. Braden Point and the Tampa Bay Lightning, all these guys. Special teams, this and that. They're 7th in goals. The Wild are 20th. I thought I just read that. They must be tied with the Stars. eighth in goals against. Not a huge surprise there. The Minnesota Wild, again, this is the Wild hosting Tampa on Wednesday, the 4th of January. And then Tuesday, January 24th, we head to Tampa. So I'm guessing we'll be playing the Panthers right around that time as well for a Florida two-step. Tampa Bay is 6th in the power play and 6th in the penalty kill. Good. At least the at least something else isn't a 6. That'd be kind of creepy. Penalty minutes 19th, and there you go. Obviously, again, a wonderful franchise that's done a heck of a lot. No shutouts on the season for the Lightning. Interesting. Ryan Elliott, now a super veteran. He's got to be pretty old. The backup goalie for Andrei Vasilevskiy, I believe he was there last year as well, was Ryan Elliott. He's been all over the place. Save percentage of 918 for Vasilevskiy. Elliott's giving up 3.31 goals. Save percentage about 89.5, but he's 7-2 on the season thanks to Tampa's ability to score goals. Just that simple. Kucherov with 37 assists, elite numbers. Only 13 goals, but that's okay. 37 assists, 50 total points. He's ahead of Kirill the Thrill. He's having an amazing run. Once again, Steven Stamkos, the now wily veteran, has been staying healthy, so good for him. Health was an issue for that guy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. 38 points on the season. He was the star player of Tampa when they went to the final and lost to the frickin' Blackhawks in 2015. You could tell who I was cheering for in that series. You can kind of tell. Recently, they had a rematch against Montreal, did Tampa. We'll get back to that shortly. Louis Belpedio, I mean Braden Point. Yeah, I think most of you know that inside joke. Leads the club in goals with 19, 34 total points in 33 games. Brandon Hagel the Bagel with 27 points, 13 goals, 14 assists. Kilhorn, also a valuable piece up and down the lineup. Victor Hedman, awesome, legendary defenseman of the Tampa Bay Lightning. 19 assists on the season with only one goal, but yeah, not bad. Ian Cole, former Minnesota Wild player, 12 points on the year. He's lighting the lamps a little better, helping other guys do it with 9 assists, 3 goals. Good for him. Corey Perry, the ancient, wily, big veteran, Stanley Cup champion of the Anaheim Ducks way back in 2007. Imagine starting your career with a Stanley Cup pretty much and then, you know, being on all these good teams but not getting it again. Ugh. And he lost 3 in a row, actually, didn't he? He lost to the Stars, he lost to the Montreal Canadiens, and then the team that beat him twice. He went there in hopes maybe they'd score a three-peat, and they get to the final and lose to the Avalanche. Oh, Corey. But at least he did get that cup way back in 07. But it must feel like ancient history now, unfortunately, and I'm sure it does. A winnable game for Minnesota, no doubt. The Wild play well against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We just do. We just play well against the Tampa Bay Lightning for whatever reason. And I think the Wild escape with a 4-3 win in this one, or a 3-2 win. It's usually low scoring. Low scoring game, 3-2 win. Low scoring, maybe 2-1 or 2-2 and go into a shootout. But the Wild escape with the victory versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll say 3-2 at the end of the day. Matt Boldy is the most likely guy to score in this one. Just kind of throwing out that. I always do that just for fun. But the Wild go 2 out of 3. Ain't bad. They meet loaf this week at the end of the day. So let's talk about the prospects next. Well, it's the World Junior Championships and all that fun stuff, so we'll kind of start with some of those guys. Liam Ugrin, guys like that, or so I would like before everything just blew up on my screen here. I apologize. Ay, caramba. Well, so far, in the International Junior, he does have one assist for Sweden in the under-20 International Junior. One assist in 3 games for Liam Ugrin, 14 points. It's Ugrin or Ugrin, but I mean, I don't know. I guess Ugrin seems to roll off the tongue a little better. He had 14 points so far for his club there as well. So, yep, for Sweden, of course, Sweden. For his Swedish club, Swedish hockey, 9 goals, 5 assists. Good for him. Yep, Liam Ugrin, 1 assist so far in the 3 games he's played in the World Junior Championships. It's a lot of fun to watch, isn't it? A lot of people call it the best thing to look forward to. Jack Pert, he's one of the older ones. Him and Bankieri, yeah, oh, he's so old, right? Sophomore in college. And there he is in his USA uniform. Really cool. That guy is going to play in the NHL. There's something about him. I think he's going to be there. I really do. He's got one assist in two games so far in the World Junior Classic. He actually played in it last year as well. He had two assists in four games last year. But so far, one assist in two games. And he had 15 points so far for St. Cloud State University in the sophomore season, just 2 points behind. 2 points. 2 points. I like to talk clear English. Behind last year's total. So Jack Pert definitely major steps forward. And hopefully he can continue to be a factor for USA in the World Junior Classic. Caden Benkier. Kamloops Blazers. One of the cooler names and logos and all that. Love it. Absolutely love what they do. World Junior Classic, it sounds familiar. Two goals and one assist for Canada. He's on pace for 84 points, though, in the WHL, the Kamloops Blazers. He's an alternate captain, him being Caden Benkier. Last year in 68 games, he scored 21 goals. This year in 24, he's got 20 goals, but only 13 assists. Come on, man. We'll see, though. He had a decent postseason last year with the Kamloops Blazers. They went deep into the playoffs, 17 games. To be exact, pretty cool. Benkier playing some big-time playoff hockey. Gotta like that. Couple guys as well, Euro-style. David Špešek, that's my guy, again, playing in the queue there. Love what he does, and again, played for the former Columbus Blue Jacket defenseman. David also is a defenseman. Right shot, 19 years of age, born on February 18th, 2003. So, yeah, people literally have a special place in my heart coming out of Czechia. Wow, that was the exact day. Wow, let's leave that alone. Holy cow. 6 goals, 20 assists. Wow, I'm just blown away by that. 6 goals, 20 assists in, for the Q, for the Sherbrooke Phoenix, cool name. 26 points, definitely an offensive juggernaut of a player, at least in the Q. But let's look at the World Junior Classics, huh? What's he doing in the World Junior Classics? That's right, in two games, he's got 2 goals and 2 assists, 4 points. So, Špešek, all right, outstanding. 2 points a game so far in the 2 games he's played in the World Junior Classic. David Špešek showing up to play. Keep it up, man, keep it up, love it. Petrovsky, coming out of Slovakia, if I remember correctly. I just want to make sure I'm doing these guys correctly. Petrovsky, Slovakia. Only 18 years of age, August 10th, 2004. He's a centre for Slovakia in the World Junior Classics. 2 goals, 2 games, no points. I keep saying goals. God. The Owen Sound Attack of the Ontario Hockey League, of course. So he is in North America, as I've said in the past. A little bit over a point a game. So he's doing well at the OHL. But, of course, one of the super young guys in our prospect pool. Again, hasn't scored yet in the World Junior Classics. Unfortunately, this will be Jack Pert's last one because you got to be under 20, right? So that's just the way it is, unfortunately. So Jack Pert, guys like that. But love what Špešek has done so far. He's definitely the best player so far, and I wish I picked it. I picked Benkier. He's actually been doing fine. What did he have? 2 points. So it's not like he's doing bad or anything. Or was it just one assist? Apologize. Yeah, the most outstanding player so far, David Špešek. And it's probably going to wind up being him. And I'm totally fine with that. Danila Yurov out of Russia. Again, our second first-round pick. Again, Ugrin came in the Kevin Fiala trade, of course, with Brock Faber. Might end up being a phenomenal trade, and it might not. We'll see. But looks promising at the very least. So let's get to Yurov. Sorry, almost getting distracted here by something. Come on, score, Minnesota. Just kidding. In the MHL, he has 1 goal, 5 assists, 6 points, so point a game in the MHL. That's the AHL for the KHL. In 41 games, Yurov had 4 goals, 5 assists. So, yep, that's the same numbers he'd had before, and he's projected for 14 in the KHL. But in the MHL, he's almost a point a game, so, okay. He's Joel Eriksson ecking it, basically, at the AHL level, so to speak, in Russia, anyway. 19 years of age. Just turned 19. Happy belated birthday 1 week ago. Happy belated birthday. If I didn't say it last week, I deeply apologize. Danila Yurov, 19 years of age. Coming out of Russia, of course. 24th overall pick for Minnesota in the 2022 draft. Sorry, having a little fun here, of course. There's nothing wrong with that, I hope. If you don't like it, well, that hurt my feelings. Hunter Haight, a guy who scored 8 goals in 3 games at one point. Well, he's at 7 goals and 7 He's at 13 points in 7 games with 4 goals and 9 assists. If I say goals one more time with the games played, I am going to snap. Of course, everything's shut down anyway for the Classic, so that's kind of how that goes when it comes to that. And of course, yes, you know, with hockey, college hockey shut down with the Christmas/winter break, 4 points for the University of Denver's Reger Lorenz, the defending national champs of their 19th national championship. So unfortunately, a lot of stuff is shut down. I didn't start in Iowa this time. Milne actually did have a point recently. Good for him. I believe he scored a goal. He's now at 5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists in 19 games. Michael Milne, good for him. As again, he's the 20-year-old rookie on the Iowa Wild. 20-year-old rookie, third-round pick for Minnesota. Not super productive yet, but probably adjusting from juniors to AHL. And I don't know, doggone it, I hope he plays a little better. We'll see. Because third-round pick, you're hoping for something. Healy, University of Harvard. Again, numbers are the same, and he's missed a ton of time. 5 points in 11 games. Spacek, talked about him. Petrovsky. Now let's get to Iwija shortly. I'll talk about the, I'm going to save them for last this time. Carson Lambos played another couple games here, but yep, still at 21 points in 25 games. Some people are saying he's more of like a second pairing defenseman instead of a top pair. Projecting to the National Hockey League, and that's unfortunate. We'll see if that can change, because yeah, he's a first round pick. You're hoping for a little better, but hey, if you can get a top four defenseman, I shouldn't complain too much, can I? Especially when you got like 19 defensemen in your system. I mean, if he makes the team, that's an accomplishment at the beginning, competing against like, you know, 9 other guys. So that's how that works. Jack Peart, again, who I think is absolutely got NHL, has an NHL future. Absolutely. If he doesn't, that would really suck. Kyle Mostas, 31 points in 30 games. And this is as a defenseman for the Kamloops Blazers. Impressive numbers. Again, double last year. Double last year. He's a point-a-game guy with 27 assists. Love what Kyle Mostas has done. Josh Pillar, well, a point-a-game guy, but he's missed a significant amount of time. Only 12 games so far. 12 points, 12 games. It's unfortunate. Nate Benoit, 10 points in 25 games, 2 goals, 8 assists for the Omaha Lancers. Got to like those Omaha Lancers. Maybe if Gerald String is listening, he maybe watches them sometimes. Maybe. I believe he comes from Scottsbluff, Nebraska. So, pretty cool. Again, yep, he's a fan of Purple Mafia and Freedom of Thought. That's a political podcast. Just leave that where that is. Let's get to the... Well, nope, I'm going to scroll around a little more. Marat Huznadinov, not eligible for the World Junior Classics. He's now 20 years of age, 24 points and 43 games, 8 goals, 16 assists. So he's doing something, and his plus-minus is higher. Again, great skater, great defender who can score here and there. And now let's jump right into those... Well, real quick, I'll talk about first off. He ended up being the prospect of the week. He had kind of an epic couple games here, and I believe I had a little brief conversation. We'll talk about that in fan interaction, but he ended up being prospect of the week. I believe he had 4 points, but he hasn't been doing all that much. Of course, he's only 21 years of age playing in the KHL. That's not that easy. 3 goals, 6 assists in 9 games. In 23 games, pardon me, 9 points. Something's not right with me right now. Last year, World Junior Classics in 5 games, no points, nothing. Unfortunately, that was last year, of course. But he's still our property, so there's always still a chance, but odds are he's probably not coming back, and Bill Guerin's going to be like hell with it, just like what happened with Menel and the other guy who was Jack McBain, who ended up being a pain. Rhyme not intended. The Iowa Wild. So we're wrapping things up with the Iowa Wild. Again, they've been mostly on break, only a couple of games. Walker, of course, is up with Minnesota. He had 24 points in 23 games. Awesome. Fogarty's back down with Iowa now, and he has had an assist lately. 9 goals, 12 assists in 26 games. Hicketts continues to be the top-scoring defenseman. Used to be with the Detroit Red Wings organization. Ronning had his 8th goal recently. Ty Ronning, not Cliff. 13 points in 28 games. Patan is always scoring in these games. He's a great AHL player, but... You know, it is what it is. He can play a little bit in the NHL, but not at a high level. That's just reality. Jeffy's been hurt all year, pretty much, off and on, only 10 games. Sweeney finally came back, and he actually scored his 6th goal of the season, so good for him. 15 games, 6 goals, 2 assists. 8 total points for Sweeney. Hopefully he can get things rolling in the right direction. Milne had a point recently. Hunt is at 6. And Ryan O'Rourke had a point recently, his 5th assist. Good for him, as he'd been uber-duber quiet, unfortunately. Jesper Wallstedt, his goals against average has been improving slightly. He's now 5-7 on the season. McIntyre, 3.25 goals against average also. Their save percentages are right at about 89, so definitely improvement needed from both of them. They've been relatively, you know, but the play in front of them hasn't been all that great either, so just like relatively disappointing. Iowa, I think, could be better, could and should be better. There's some decent prospects down there. Unfortunately, some of them are so raw that, you know, you're going to maybe turn the puck over a lot and leave your goalie out to dry, and that's just kind of a harsh, crappy reality of it all. Hunter Jones, he's the main guy in the ECHL, the Iowa Heartlanders. He's actually improved his numbers. Only 1 win, though. 1-6 on the season because Iowa's just been awful. 89% save percentage, 3.2 goals against average. There's an adorable little podcast of little kids out there for the Iowa Heartlanders. It's cute and everything. It's just too bad that the team is so bad. It's too bad. Hopefully things can improve because it's a cool name, cool logo, and it's just, it's nice to know that there's hockey in Iowa, ECHL and AHL, and they're both affiliates with Minnesota, but it's just, oh, they're bad. It's so frustrating. I feel bad for them, and for I feel bad for the players, the fans, and just in general. You know, hopefully things can improve here over the course of time. Hang in there, Iowa Heartlanders. Get better, okay? I hope so. It's just kind of the way things are right now. With that, though, that's pretty much the prospects. If, you know, other than, of course, Brock Faber, of course, and I always kind of tend to forget because he's not on the actual, like, you know, list of, you know, draft picks and everything, but 15 points in 20 games, 3 goals, 12 assists, and, you know, he's the captain, and it's probably, you know, he's a top 4 team in all of college hockey, plays a smart game, and he's brought some more offense this year. He's at basically, you know, 75, what do they call it, 0.75 goals a game, where the last couple of years he was basically about a half a point a game guy. So the offense has definitely moved up for Brock Faber. Of course, was property of the Kings, traded to Minnesota in the Kevin Fiala trade, along with a draft pick that wound up being Liam Ugrin. Could end up being a great trade. We'll have to wait and see how that all turns out. But Brock Faber, obviously, again, and they're on break as well. And before you know it, Gopher Hockey will be out there competing yet again. Kevin Fiala, just for the hell of it, in 35 games, he's got 10 goals and 25 assists. And remember, he did score against Minnesota, unfortunately. He's at a slightly slower pace than last year, but not by a whole lot. He's probably still going to get like 70-plus points. So it's a really, 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 really nice player that I wish he could be here. But it is what it is. He can't be here. With that said, we'll take a quick break and get to our fun, epic fan interaction segment. And we are back here on Brave the Wild, segment number 3, fan interaction segment. Let's just get going. Let's go. Joey's wasting time, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm not wasting time. I love this. I was saying, I hate to say this, but does he still count? That was the conversation. Again, hashtag BTWMN. Hashtag BTWMN. So I'm going to try to generate conversations during the course of the week as well. And, you know, this and that. And, of course, hashtag BTWMN. When I comment, I'll probably put that, not to be obnoxious, but to keep things organized so then I can maybe, if there's an interesting conversation, it can be there. This and that. You know, something that's, you know, that's good to be on the show. And hopefully people not beating up on each other, saying you're an idiot, you don't know anything about hockey, at each other or to me. Probably won't read that unless I feel compelled to for whatever reason. The he is, again, Vladislav Firstov, 1 goal, 2 assists in 3 games in the KHL. So again, finally getting things going again. MNW Young Guns at MNW Prospects. Again, huge shout out, and I'm a part of it, but I haven't been writing lately, but still a huge part of it, still a huge respect and part of it, and I'll plug them forever and all that. Vladislav Furstov has been named the best rookie of the week of the KHL. Unsurprisingly, he ended up being the best Minnesota Wild prospect of the week because he had a good game. Yep, and he was the best rookie of the KHL, so pretty cool. And good for him. We'll see if he winds up still being with Minnesota at some point. I was saying, I hate to ask this, but does he still count? I'm not sure he's coming back. I believe this was Pavel Bennett that was running the Twitter, and it probably is. And Pavel Bennett out of Chechia, awesome person. You know, and he's the one who designed the logo. Pavel Bennett designed the logo for not only Young Guns, but for Brave the Wild. So, yeah, obviously appreciate him forever and ever. Because I fell in love with that Young Guns logo and the color scheme, and I'm like, oh, is there any chance in the world, you'd be willing to do something similar for mine? And he's like, sure. So, just what a great guy. Why didn't I click like? I'm sorry. Pavel says he's only loaned to Novgorod, but honestly, it was a weird move. Wanting to return to Russia after a year spent in the United States. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Lizard Kaprizov to Lizard Kaprizov. I think we follow each other. Yes, good. That's nice to know. Good. Lizard says, exactly. Billy doesn't have a lot of patience for these type of situations like Manel and Hovanov. Yeah, see? And the other one too, McBain. He didn't leave like those guys, but they were, you know, but still... He didn't, like, you know, go play overseas or anything. He just demanded a trade. Like, I don't want to be here. I know I don't see myself playing. I kind of understand. And then I responded with, yeah, I don't think he's coming back, unfortunately. I wish he would. A couple more replies. Young Gun says, yeah, we will cover until he is not our prospect. But it does feel like a Manel Hovanov type of situation for sure. Yep, unfortunately. Yeah, yep. But no, nice conversation. See, you know, hockey fans can have positive conversations, so we don't have to be like, oh, that's dumb. No, of course it's not dumb. I was saying, oh, Matt Zuccarello has to be on the Mount Rushmore in the NHL for one of the best passes in the league. Insane pass to Goodrow. Generated a little bit of conversation, mostly likes. People were excited. Derek says, again, Derek at Crease and Assist says, didn't see it, but I heard it was a beauty, and it was. And then he did see it later on. He's like, holy cow. Yep. He was pretty much like, wow, that was a great play. Whoa, that one got a lot of views. Whew. Yep, that's what happens sometimes. You tweet something like that during a game, and it just goes viral. Wow, that's a lot of views. Cool. Derek Felska says, do the holidays bring a Minnesota Wild question to mind? Ask Brave the Wild and hashtag it. BTWMN, Brave the Wild Minnesota, you get the idea, and ask as many questions as you'd like. Yes, please do ask as many questions as you'd like. I highly, highly prefer that. Derek starts the Derek Felska lightning round. Big friend of this show, obviously, and of course, you'll hear about something else coming up here. I'm jumping ahead, getting too excited. Derek says, how well or poorly do you think the Minnesota Wild will do against the St. Louis Blues this season? Until we see otherwise, I don't trust the Wild versus St. Louis. It's been a bad matchup. So, yeah, that's a good question, and it applies perfectly to this episode and kind of what I was kind of bitching about in the last segment. Like, Wild have played so bad against them. So, hopefully it changes. The Wild have every right to play better against them, and St. Louis is worse than last year. Clearly, they're worse. They're just, you know, they don't score goals really a whole lot. They score a little bit. Yeah, their goaltending has been pretty crappy, but Binnington has definitely given us a hard time, and he's the one who knocked us out of the playoffs last year. Unfortunately, no Stanley Cup run for Binnington last year. That was just, I guess that was a one-year wonder when you look at it. Derek continues, does Mason Shaw's suspension put him in danger of being the odd man out upon his return, especially with Sammy Walker playing so well? It does raise the question, doesn't it? It does raise the question. They're about the same age. Walker, there seems like a little extra there, doesn't there? There's a little something extra in Sammy Walker. And I don't know. Shaw definitely was a significantly higher pick. What was he, third round? Not that high, but higher. Like, Walker was one of the Mr. Irrelevance years ago in the seventh round by Tampa, of all teams. So Tampa knows what they're doing. Walker is a wonder. Yep, and there's his goal right there. It was just happening right there, and Connor got a bloody face, unfortunately, as well. A stick got to his face at some point, I believe, on that play. Kemp Walker got the empty netter. Nice release on that shot. Gorgeous. That was cool, wasn't it? Yep. I think that's a real good question here that the Minnesota Wild organization are going to have to consider. Yeah, Connor got, yeah, he got bloodied. Yep. I forgot what happened exactly, but I don't know if it was the puck. No. It might have been. Probably a stick, though. Poor guy. That would suck. That's a real question, though. I think it's possible. I think that's really possible. Maybe not right away, but it's possible. And gosh, you know, gosh, things look so promising for Shaw, and they still can. Who's to say Shaw's not an NHL player, especially, again, fourth line, you know? I mean, you know, so it's possible. Maybe even just a brief send-down. Derek Belsky, interesting question here. Who is the best defenseman of all time in Minnesota Wild history? Ooh, well, we've had a few good ones. I really liked Willie Mitchell years ago. Brent Burns was on the right track to being something very special. He was inconsistent, and he got hurt a bit. He had concussion issues, unfortunately, for a while there. And kind of his role changing back and forth. Though we'd put him at forward sometimes, and obviously he came in as a forward. He came into Minnesota as a forward years ago, too. So, again, position changes in the early days from forward to defenseman and sometimes back to forward again made him a little bit out there and kind of a strange player and inconsistent and such. But he was on his way, but unfortunately was traded before he really reached his peak. Now he's, I think, Hall of Fame level. And believe it or not, I have his autograph as an 18-year-old rookie. I met him as an 18-year-old rookie, and what a sweet young man he was, you know, and now look at him, all big bearded guy. Just crazy to think about. It's probably, I don't want to say the name. I almost can't, but it's probably you know who. It's probably somebody Derek doesn't like very much. A lot of us don't. When the more and more information that's come out about him, you guys know who I'm talking about. The former National Predators defenseman who came here for a huge contract, 13-year contract. I think it's that guy. Unfortunately, until, say, a Jared Spurgeon can knock him off that pedestal. I think Spurgeon is right there, or Brodin. God, it's so tough. You know, for overall, just defensemen, it's Jonas Brodin. It's Jonas Brodin. Yes, I think it's Jonas Brodin. His skating ability, his overall presence. I think it's Jonas Brodin. It's too bad because no All-Star game or anything crazy like that. But just a general defenseman, a defenseman who actually did have some offensive ability that wasn't utilized enough at times. When you put him on the power play, he was actually kind of a factor. It's Jonas Brodin. Yep, I want to give it to him. I have so much respect for Jonas Brodin and what he brings to this team and what he's brought to this team for so long. And whenever he's out, it's like, holy crap. So it's Jonas Brodin. Yep. Suter leaving didn't kill us. It really didn't. He had value, but he was such a negative in the locker room and on the ice at times, too, by overplaying himself. The whole Suter was gassed out there. Suter had no business being gassed. And I used to bitch at Mike Yeo for that, but then you realize who truly was responsible for that. Old Mr., oh, you're not going to play me, huh? Doot, 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 doot. Hey, Craig, Mike Yeo said he's not going to play me. It's like, you know, that's, ugh. So I refuse. It is Jonas Brodin, and it's not just out of spite towards Ryan Suter. Mr. 8 assists in 33 games, Ryan Suter himself. Anyhow, Derek Felski continues. The lightning round continues. Philip Gustafson seems to be a savvy pickup in the Cam Talbot trade. What do you feel is a reasonable extension to keep him around, or should the team extend Boldy first and figure out the rest later? I want to keep Philip Gustafson. I do, especially, you know, obviously Fleury's 37-ish, right? He's 37. Jesper Wallstedt is not ready. He's not dominating the AHL. And I always kind of saw Philip Gustafson as like at least a platoon with Jesper Wallstedt as he comes up to the National Hockey League. If not, probably the starter at first. Jesper's the backup and has to earn it, especially if Gustafson keeps playing the way he does. I want to keep Gustafson. I do. Extending Boldy, yeah, I think that's a huge thing. I'm not sure what kind of extension we're talking about with Boldy. Is it going to be a significant raise, like $6 million a year? Or is it going to be something like like a bridge deal, like two years, $3 million per, and then go for the bigger deal as we get further out of this, as we get out of the woods of the cap hell? Or even like 3-4 years, or, like 3 years for like $4 million or something for Boldy, something like that. Or, are we ready to fork over like 5 years, $6 million per or something? I don't know. Or way more than that. Way the heck more. I'm not sure Boldy's earned like a huge contract yet. Clearly, he's a legitimate player. And with another scoring type of guy with him, a guy who could have good chemistry with, like a Sammy Walker potentially, Boldy could really blow up and be an 80-point guy, quite possibly. Is he an all-star player? Maybe, sort of. Superstar? Probably not. Gustafsson, is he a starting goalie in the NHL? I think the possibility exists and will persist. To steal a line from a former president in the 1950s, I think so. A reasonable extension. Good thing I have the salaries up. Good thing I have the salaries up, because right now, what's he making, like 800, right? The heck? Where'd it go? Oh, 787. Jeez. And yeah, restricted free agent with the hammer. We all know what that means. Arbitration eligible. It ain't a mallet. It's a hammer. Okay, a mallet would make noise too. Marc-Andre Fleury, 3.5 at the older age. I could see Gustafsson demanding maybe real early. Maybe like 3 years, 2.5. I wonder if would he be willing to take that? I think that's reasonable. 3 years, 2.5. And continues to play well. Obviously can go up. Goalies can last many, many years in the National Hockey League. Many years. That's the good part. So it's not like Gustafsson will be like, goodbye. But that's what I'm guessing. Something around that area. Maybe I'm way off. But, yeah, 3 years, 2.5 per is my guess. And it's unfortunately just a guess. But again, at least you get Dumba off the books, potentially, which is a sad but true thing. But again, you still have the dead cap crap that lasts until the summer of 25. Yep, the summer of 25. So, kind of is what it is. But again, yeah, Dumba off the books, there's that. So, and 2.5 isn't that much, is it? Maybe even just 2? Depending on how well he does the rest of the year. But if he plays like the way he has been, yeah, like something like that. 3 years, 2.5 is my guess. Somebody might be rolling their eyes. Somebody might be like, that's perfect. Other people might think, like, that's too much. That's too little. Well, it's all opinions, right? It's all opinions. But, that's my guess. If if Ryan Hartman was a character in a video game, who would it be? Because Ryan Hartman, how he's kind of been. Maybe he's Tails with Sonic. I don't know. You just kind of like, okay, Tails. Yeah, thanks. Yep, thanks, Tails. Like playing a one-player game of Sonic. Maybe he's Tails. Like, okay, yeah, I know you're there. Oh, he did something. Cool. Yeah, but maybe Tails. I don't know. That's kind of one guess. Or like Minnie Mouse. He wouldn't even be Minnie Mouse in Mickey Mouse Capade. That's a game review I did recently. Minnie Mouse is quite helpful if you actually get her the star. It's just that if she falls, you both die. Like if she falls over the, the edge, so to speak. Mickey Mouse Capade for the NES came out in the late 80s. Fun game, and I did do a game review on Video Game Flashback. That's 4 words. Check out that podcast, especially Mega Man 2 fans. Just recently had that one up about a week ago. And DuckTales is getting released tomorrow afternoon. The show is done, but it's just I scheduled it to release it to give a little time in between shows. And I do not plan on releasing a show a week with Video Game Flashback. That's impossible. But just when I have a little extra time sometimes, and I just have this urge, I just want to do it. But it's the kind of show I could actually take my time and do a good quality one and maybe some really nice games. So, yep, now that I've gotten into video games. Ryan Hartman. Well, I don't think he's Rush in Mega Man 3. He's the Turtles in Super Mario Brothers. he has value. It's just he's, I don't know. I don't know. Gosh, yeah, he's here for 2 more years, right? So 1 year after this. at 1.7. That's a, you know, obviously a deal of the century considering what he did last year. But now it feels like about that's it. Just kind of a third, fourth line type of guy who's okay. He's 28 already. Jeez, he's already 28. Huh. 1.7. I don't know. Yeah, like kind of like that though, like a Tails or something. I wish I had something on the top of my head because I saw this yesterday even. And then it's like I just kind of blanked. But kind of something like that. Or like... I don't know. If something else comes to mind, I'll think about it. But I'm leaning towards Tails. Like, yeah, he's here. Oh, he did something. Cool. But most of the time, he's just kind of there. Like in the Sonic 2, you know? So, Brian Herrera says, with your youth showing up big time this year, do you see Bill moving an NHLer or two to make room for more of the youth to step up in bigger roles? I think so. Like how they moved out, Bill Guerin moved out Kulikov. I keep pronouncing it funny. Obviously, that made a spot for Addison. Addison's better than Kulikov, really. Honestly, no disrespect to Kulikov, but Addison, I think he brings a little extra, and he needed to be in the NHL to kind of get used to the NHL as well. Otherwise, he's just going to kind of flatline forever in the AHL. It's like benching 50 pounds, okay? You know, it's not doing anything anymore. Maybe you'll get toned up, but, you know, yeah, so I think so, yes. And I wouldn't be surprised, again, like Dumba is probably gone one way or another to make room for Brock Faber. That's a big one. Guys like Beckman and Walker, something like that. Like, again, like a possible trade sweetener, like a Ryan Hartman or something. Or he'd be a sweetener. I believe that conversation was brought up in here somewhere. I don't know where, though. Was that last week? Jay Bushy says, is this the year the Wild wins games against the Blues? It seems like they have the Wild's number. Until I see otherwise, I don't know. I don't know. It's not been pretty. Like, right now, I'm one of those kind of guys where it's like, show me. Sometimes they step out in faith, but then when you get weird matchups like this, it's like, show me. Yep, and then Derek had accidentally said, correct that, I mean Ryan Hartman. Yep, because he accidentally said Adam Hartman, but that's okay. I mean, I've done that kind of stuff. One time I called Jason Zucker Josh Zucker because I had a coworker slash friend years ago named Josh Zacker. So then I had some kind of weird mental block. I kept calling Jason Zucker Josh Zucker. And then some a-hole from God knows where gave me a one-star rating on Apple Podcast, or I think it was still called iTunes at the time. Just a jerk, you know, like saying I'm like, I don't know anything, and I'm the biggest dummy ever. He doesn't even know the name of prospects and blah, blah, blah. And he completely misunderstood something I'd said. Like, oh, you know, there's not really any prospects in the Wild system. I was saying that Iowa didn't have a whole lot of... A lot of the prospects that in our system weren't in Iowa at the time, which was true about 90% of the time in the history of Minnesota until lately, which I like that there's a lot of prospects there. I think that's a good thing. Unfortunately, they're not playing real well, which I'm not understanding, but it is what, other than they're real young. I've received some harsh stuff where, you know, one-star ratings and, like, he's terrible and all that, so... It's not fun, but it's reality. As I try not to choke to death here, I apologize. Thank God for the dumb button. Okay, let's see. Where was Derek? I know there were some replies. Let's make sure that these replies... Ah, they are different. Or at least one of them is. Steve Snyder. Here we go. Steve Snyder says... It's a little bit more to talk about, which is good. Steve Snyder says, the Wild's depth is being challenged, and so far I think it's proving out pretty well. Is this smoke and mirrors, or can players not named Rossi fill in until the regulars are back healthy? I'm actually pleased with what I've seen. Still a small sample size, though. Yeah, like somebody like Sammy Walker, absolutely. Small sample size, yes. But, yep, I think, is it smoke and mirrors, players not named Rossi? I think they can do it, yep. I think they can do it. Adam Beckman, obviously, I keep calling him, yeah, okay, I did pronounce the name right. Adam Hartman, Ryan, yeah, Adam Beckman. Josh Zacker, Jason Zucker, yes, that really happened. But no, I am pleased, and I do think they're closer to being NHL players, like in Beckman's case. He's definitely closer. At the beginning of the season, it's like, geez, he's just flatlining. He's like the same guy last year. like a half a point guy in the AHL, which is like, really? That's it? If you can't even crack it in the AHL, you're not even near what you you were at the in the juniors. And I know juniors, you know, guys might get like Mario Lemieux back in the day had like 300 points or something. It was like 250 or some psycho. Like, good luck, you know, because he was already like an absolute superstar before he'd even played in the NHL. And then, yeah, he was the number one pick for a reason. He was just like a phenom beyond words, Mario Lemieux. Why did I get off on that? Other than, again, like Backman was pretty phenomenal in the WHL. Hovanov was pretty phenomenal in the Q. Some guys make it, some guys don't. And it's the way it is. But at least Backman has had some time in the NHL. I do think he has a future. He has skill, and he's adjusting more to a more gritty style to kind of, again, you know, you have to, it's hockey. You have to be able to play more than one role at times to be able to make it and then to kind of develop and improve. So Shaw definitely has that ability. Hasn't been scoring lately, unfortunately, and then he got in trouble now, unfortunately, which really sucks. Walker, though, I think absolutely. People all over the place, like the Judd Zolgads and others, Derek Felska, yep, who knows a thing or two about hockey, right, are insanely impressed with Sammy Walker, and I've been as well. And, you know, just the things they've shown on even in the Wild broadcast, like, look at how he approaches things. So Sammy Walker, I think, has a legitimate future in the NHL, and I hope it continues. Derek, I think he was just making sure that I didn't miss this one, and thankfully, nope, I did not. Appreciate that very, very much. That should be it for the fan interaction. I believe I got everything. So, in time, Derek's going to have an announcement of some sort, but I'm going to keep it quiet. I'll just leave it at that. I probably shouldn't even say that. I will not let the cat out of the bag. And if you already know, you already know. But if not, you're not yet, okay? Other than that, check out Video Game Flashback, I suppose. And he's been a big help for that show as well. Again, getting that one, you know, it started many years ago, just throwing old videos up there, videos that were already a year old up there. My Dylan of thesportstuff.com, getting things going way back in 2008. And then I revived it late this year. And it's been so fun. The cool part about Video Game Flashback is it's not time sensitive. See, this show is time sensitive. I love doing it, but there's a little bit of stress to it. It's got to get done, right? It needs to get done. You know, the NHL draft is next week, or, you know, whatever, or just getting it done weekly. We've got to keep up with what's going on with the Wild, and so on and so forth. Where Video Game Flashback, oh, I'm kind of, you know, I'm a little bored. Oh, I'm just waiting for someone to come over. It's about a half hour, an hour away. What the heck? Why not record a tiny bits and pieces of this project I've been working on for a game? I won't say it. A Super Nintendo game. I won't tell you what it is. I won't. I'm not telling anybody. It's going to be a fun one, but I won't tell you. Or, because that's a bigger project. Or bits and pieces of maybe a smaller one. Less complicated Nintendo game. Or a bigger one like Mega Man 3. So, stuff like that. That's what's fun. You can just do little bits and pieces of it here and there. So, just throwing that out there. And that's what I love about Video Game Flashback. Not that I need to get into that. Major shout-outs to MNW Prospects, MN Young Guns, MNW Young Guns, Minnesota Wild, Pavel Bennett, Chechia, Marek Skiba also. I don't think he's been on there anymore, but just give him a shout-out anyway. Justin Bakke, Sound the Foghorn, and, of course, of the MNW Young Guns. Brandon Quast, great job. Absolutely great. Great guy as well. Justin Bakke, a great guy. Really appreciate them. So huge shout out, and they'll always be a part of Brave the Wild. Always. They still are, obviously. Again, huge giant shout out to Scott Cavendish, Minnesota Wild Global. Yep. Chad Walski, Kathy Main, Michael Fick, David Abraham, David and Chance Kostick, you know. Obviously, huge hockey fans. Believe it or not, one of the bakery lady from Byerly's actually is on there, I believe. So, pretty cool. One in a million chance. Maybe she listens. But I saw her on there. That's the name. I didn't say anything. I was afraid to. But I was like, oh, wow. So, yep, she's a hockey fan, too. She has kind of like, looks like a Finland type of a name. So, kind of cool. pretty cool stuff. With that said, oh yeah, Patrick Turner coming out of Florida, Minnesota Wild Nation. How could I not give him a shout out? Awesome guy as well. Been supportive of the show also. And thank all of you so much that comment. The Jay Bushies, the Brian Herreras, Derek, of course, the Lightning Round, and for putting out that, putting out the bat signal like he does. Really cool. Thank you guys so much for your interactions with this show. A little quieter this week, but it is what it is. You're busy doing something else or whatever. So, or you're sick of me. I don't know. It's possible. With that, I hope not. The numbers have been good, which is appreciative. Really appreciate it. And please tell your friends about the show. Give a positive rating on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Audible, Spotify does star ratings, this and that. So huge shout outs to all of you, and thank you so much for those of you that have been supportive of this show. Final thing, you can call in with an audio submission if you'd like. All you do is open up your smart device. There's a free voice recording app on every smart device on the planet, or you could download one on the store for free. Obviously, just press the button, the record button, treat it like a phone call. When you stop, save it and share it / email it to paladinolive@yahoo.com. paladinolive@yahoo.com. I would then convert it into an MP3 file thanks to zumzar.com. With that said, have a great week. Happy New Year, even though I'm not a big New Year guy, but Happy New Year anyway, and we'll talk to you in 2023.